How do you feel about that?
It's my mom's birthday month.
Okay. My best friend's birthday month. Three of my best friend and two of my very good friends' birthday months.
My wife's birthday month, my anniversary, my grandmother's birthday month, my brother-in-law's birthday month. A lot of birthdays.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So shout out to my best friend.
Shout out to her. Oh, yeah. They got the same birthday as my mom.
As your mom.
Best friend.
And then
our partner Will's wife has the same birthday.
Yes. Yes, she does.
A lot of good August birthdays.
And two of my very, I guess I consider them my brothers. Two of my brothers, their birthdays are in August.
Not birth brothers, not blood brothers, just brothers in spirit, brothers in Christ.
Brothers in action. They have treated me like a sister most of my life.
So sweet.
And more than any blood brother that I have.
Yeah.
So they are my brothers.
Them. Yeah. Okay.
They both have a birthday. One's birthday is today, specifically.
Ooh, August 7th, because people don't always listen to it on the
correct.
Same exact day. So
and,
that'd be very specific.
One was earlier this week.
Okay. All right, brothers. Big shout to
big
them.
Big shout out to my brothers.
Nameless brothers who've looked out.
Leslie and Adrian.
Both were girl names.
First of all,
I just noticed
unisex
that.
Unisex names. They're unisex.
They're kind of girl names that men can also rock with.
Say it to their face then.
Okay. I will. I will.
You do that.
They know this, though. This
they
is
don't
not,
think their names
I have
are
a
girl
son,
names.
I
never
son,
thought those were girl names in my whole entire life.
I have a son named Avery, by the way, so look.
That's not a girl or a guy name.
Avery is a girl name.
Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You're thinking about...
It's like a Leslie or Adrian.
Unisex. Unisex names.
But predominantly...
No.
Historically. historically girl name, HGN.
What?
Like a HBCU, but
no,
HGN.
No, nothing like an HBCU. and HGN doesn't exist. So there's
kinda,
that.
Except it kind of does, but all right.
Okay. Do you know what, I mean, can we share what our week is going to be like in the case that anyone's around?
Go for it. I know
we
you
don't typically do this.
I know you don't do this.
But Alan's going to be there also. So I feel I feel more comfortable.
Feel safe.
Not safe, because Alan's not going to keep me safe. If y'all were ever
whatever
curious.
Cut the tape.
Alan's
fast forward. This
not
is
gonna keep me safe.
Whatever.
But this is, we'll be in Martha's Vineyard this week.
A remote island, hard to get to. Okay, that'll keep you safe too.
But
we're surrounded by sharks.
But not surrounded by sharks. But a lot of Black people are in Martha's Vineyard this week. We will not be there together. Alan will be with his family, and I will be with my friends. But if you see us on the vineyard this week, say what's up.
Yeah, Tiffany will be luxuriating. Alan will be slumming.
Oh my God. That's day to day. So nothing changes there.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot of great things going on. This
a
is
lot
like
of great
black,
things.
This is like the black.
The blackest
month.
Week. It is black. Yeah, it's the black month for Martha's Vineyard.
So many things going on.
This week, I feel like this week, next week are like the super black weeks.
Yeah,
and so a lot of our listeners are often on the vineyard doing their own thing.
Well, we are there for Morgan on the Vineyard.
We are there for Morgan on the Vineyard.
Well, I'll be there for Howard on the Vineyard the next week as
well. I will not be.
I will be there.
I didn't go to Howard, neither did you, but you're a traitor and it's fine.
No, they needed me.
Okay.
They needed me to come shed
some
Morgan like light on them. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, they couldn't get by without a Morganite.
Oh,
so
my God.
I'll be at Howard on the Vineyard just one day only doing a talk on estate planning of all things.
Yeah, I will be somewhere else doing another type of vacation.
Where specifically?
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
If you're going to be
tell
there, I'm down for sharing our location.
Yeah.
When I'm out with just my friends,
yeah,
you'll see about it.
After. Okay.
If you follow me on social media.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll see about it. Speaking of social media, and then we will actually get into our topic. For those who do follow us on social media, we're pretty bad about it on our professional page.
What is social media again?
So
exactly.
On Instagram, we're at The Momentum Advisors. And on Twitter, we're at Momentum Advice.
No, I mean, what is this?
It is media that's social.
Okay.
We don't do a good job, but this week we have a really great highlight that we posted. Alan and I were featured on the cover of CityWire RIA magazine.
Everyone's favorite magazine.
No one's favorite magazine unless you are an RIA, but we were featured on the cover. We got a really nice like spread.
Yeah, we really did.
A lot of photos.
Superhero-esque.
You know, I didn't love the photos, but.
Yeah, I think you look great.
You know.
I think you look smart, strong, powerful.
If someone walks up to you and says you look smart, take it as an offense.
Yo, if you're a financial advisor, you should look smart.
Okay.
And powerful and strong and beautiful.
Exactly.
Okay.
If the first thing that they thought when they saw you was, damn, you look smart. Just know.
Okay. I think you look sharp also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that you're over 40, you're getting sharp
too. I'm not over 40. I'm 40.
That's over 40.
I just got here.
That's over.
I haven't even been here a whole month yet.
Like 1 day into 40 is over 40.
Sure.
So
okay.
You're over 40 now.
Not a full month into 40, but.
And you look clean.
All of your compliments should stop at this point. I don't appreciate them and I don't know where they're going.
I thought you looked nice. I'm just being funny.
Thank you.
You looked nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah. So take a look at our spread that's featured on our social media platforms.
Yeah. Centerfold.
It is a
centerfold. Take a look at our centerfold.
It is kind of centerfold.
It's the worst centerfold if that's a centerfold. Hey.
Listen, it looks smart, as you say.
It does.
It's a smart looking centerfold.
So fresh and so clean.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Tiffany? Break it down for us.
We're talking about the same thing that everybody's talking about. It's everybody's favorite word right now. I mean, next to inflation. People love the term inflation right now, but they're loving recession even more.
Yeah. Do they love it or they just like to talk about it?
They just like to talk about it. You know, I'm actually confused, to be honest with you, because the way people use social media, they spend more time publicizing the things that they don't like. And it makes me wonder, do you actually like these things? Like, you spend more time posting about the things that you hate instead of posting the things that you love.
Who does this?
Everybody.
Like what? Give me an example.
Again, there's bad news, right? Like, something negative happens in the world. Everybody posts it on their platform. Did you see this? You know what they're talking about this? Everybody, like, thank you for publicizing it further. Yeah.
Well, look, I did post that I hate at restaurants when I get my food to go and they tie the bag too tight and it's all super tight and now I got to cut the bag open. I did post that.
Isn't that a waste? Like, aren't these things a waste of a post? Why don't you post the things that you do like? Like, I would not think to use one. I would not think to use my platform to publicize things that I don't like. I would think to use my platform to push out the things that I do like.
Well, first of all, there's a song. That's the stuff I don't like. Okay.
That's not exactly. Okay.
All right. Use your platform how you want to use it.
Word.
But either way, recession is coming up a lot. I agree. The reason why it's coming up is that there's a lot of indicators pointing to a recession.
Word.
For example, you've got the yield curve. The yield curve is if you were to look at a chart of all of. Uh oh. You're giving me the.
Yeah, because let's be clear. People are not talking about the recession because of the yield curve.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Most of the people listening don't know what a yield curve is.
I was about to
They've
explain it.
They've never seen the yield curve.
I was about to explain it.
I'm just being honest. Like,
okay,
most people listening, a lot of the people who are posting about the recession on their social media and just can't stop talking about it, have never seen a yield curve, doesn't know how the yield curve applies to a recession.
Yeah, that's true.
So
maybe we should take a step backwards.
How about that?
Why don't we talk about what a recession is?
And if you haven't heard, we've talked about this, I think, a couple of podcast episodes ago, but we're going to rehash it just so that you can clearly understand what a recession is. And then maybe we'll talk about a yield curve.
I can't stand her sometimes.
Just being honest.
They want to hear about the yield curve.
We're
going to
talk about it, but don't put it out there like the reason why everybody's seen the yield curve. Like, no one's seen the yield curve. Nobody listening has seen the yield curve. We've seen it. It's our job. If it's not your job, what yield curve?
Nope. People have it bookmarked on their whatever.
Nice.
All right. So recession really is defined as a significant, widespread, and prolonged downturn in economic activity.
Dramatic. It is so dramatic because that's not definitively, like formally, that's not the definition of a recession.
Well, the popular rule of thumb, this is what I learned in business school, is that anytime you have two consecutive quarters of a decline in the growth rate of our country's gross domestic product.
GDP.
Then that's a recession.
I'm just going to stop you.
Okay.
That's just a decline.
Yeah. In the growth rate.
Okay. A decline in the GDP.
Growth rate.
Right. How much a decline?
Okay.
How much determines a recession?
It could be 0.5%.
Anything is the point. Anything. It's not a 25% decline. It's not a 50% decline.
Yeah.
If for two consecutive quarters,
yeah,
it declines by 1%, we're in a recession.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's, I just want to temper you guys because, again, there's so much panic. There's so much happening in this recession conversation. And people are panicking even though they don't feel it personally.
Yeah.
a lot of people don't feel this recession personally, but you're just panicking because everyone's talking about a recession. I want to be clear on what a recession is. When you hear it on CNBC, when you hear it on the news, they're talking about the definition, the formal definition of negative growth rate
in the economy.
In the economy for two consecutive quarters.
6 months.
Just to put it in perspective.
Okay.
Okay. Alan, say you weigh 350 pounds.
Damn. Okay.
Some people do.
Okay, fine.
And you want to go on a weight loss journey.
All right.
Okay. And you've decided, you know, the goal is to lose 150 pounds.
Okay, I want to drop to 200.
You want to be a clean 200.
My fighting weight, okay. Mm-hmm.
2 months in a row, you lose a pound each month. And you deem that as successful.
Okay.
Does that feel successful? Like you have lost weight. I need to lose weight every single month for the next 2 months. And you've done that.
I'm posting it.
Okay, you're posting it. It's been 1 pound 1 month and 1 pound another month.
Yeah, in 150 months. Okay.
What I'm saying is, is this cause for concern or excitement?
Yeah.
Even though you've done a thing has happened.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I guess the corollary would be if you gained 1 pound in mm-hmm. a month or gained 2 pounds, like your goal is to lose, you gained. Is that like devastating?
Is it devastating?
Yeah. No.
Is it cause for concern?
Yeah. You know what it is? The word recession sells newspapers.
That's exactly.
It gets people's
exactly
attention.
Where I'm going.
Yeah. But, you know, and the issue is you don't really know when you're in a recession until kind of like either you're after the recession is over or like months and months that you've been into it.
Yes.
So really, in reality, the people who determine if it's a recession or not, it's a group of economists. They're part of the NBER.
I don't like that.
Okay.
The national. Let me explain something real quick. You're one letter off from being very offensive. I started to get really worked up as you were pushing these letters out. You are one letter off from tearing this whole podcast up.
The National Guarantee of Economic Research.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
The National Bureau of Economic Research is a group of economists who really, their whole job is to determine and declare when we're in a recession, if we're in an expansion. Like, that's their job.
Who are they? Name some people on the NBER.
Okay. Can I be frank?
You know any of them?
They're nerdy people with big glasses. They sit in the front of the class.
Here's the real question.
Okay.
Is this like a apply online type of position?
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. You got to be nominated to this position. How do we get here? Who are y'all making all these decisions?
They're just in charge.
Getting
okay?
everybody worked up.
They're just in charge, okay? And so the thing about a recession is that it typically produces a decline in economic activity. It causes job losses. It causes some businesses to close. It causes, you know, really just a slower economic climate altogether. Mm-hmm. And so we may be in one, we may not be in one, but what we're going to talk about today is a little different. We're going to break down a recession, but we're going to say, look, if there's a recession, I may choose not to participate.
That's a fact.
Because that's up to you.
That is up to you if you choose to participate in a recession or not. I know it's something worth talking about. As Alan mentioned, it's very newsworthy, so it's on everyone's lips right now, but it doesn't have to be in your household. It doesn't have to be in your bank account. It doesn't have to be a part of your life. And so we're going to talk to you about how to not participate in a recession.
Absolutely. So let's go back into what causes a recession. And again, the recession is these two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, also known as a significant, widespread, and prolonged
downturn. No, it's not the
downturn.
Same thing. Significant, widespread. Significant. Yeah. Take out significant.
Yeah.
Take out widespread.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. That's why they haven't called it yet. Because we've had two consecutive quarters. We had like a negative 0.4 and like a negative 0.9. Right. So you add it together, we're like negative 1.3. They're like, it's a downturn, but is it significant? That's what the NBER folks are trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
Okay. But the things that cause recessions, number one, it's a loss of confidence in investment. Right. So if I'm a business owner and I'm like, look, I don't know how things are going. I might need to slow down investing in my business. I might need to, you know, not restock my inventory. That can itself cause a recession.
And again, it's a loss of confidence, right? Something might not have necessarily happened. It may just be due to the news or what you're hearing around you that makes you just feel like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to invest as much in my business. I don't know if I'm going to invest as much in my portfolio. So it's a feeling.
Yep. Yeah, it's a feeling.
It's just a feeling.
Okay. Have you ever lost confidence, Tiffany?
I have. I didn't stop eating because of it. Like, you know what? I don't need enough food to survive.
Yeah. Sometimes you just lose confidence.
Sometimes you lose confidence.
You need encouragement.
100%, I guess what I'm trying to drive home is that, like, it's one of the major things that causes a recession is a feeling.
Yeah. Another one is high interest rates. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about that. Yeah, we've talked about as my man or Tiffany's
homeboy Jerome
starts raising rates.
My friends don't do things like that.
Yeah, raising interest rates can push an economy into a recession.
So, okay, adding to that, we've started with a feeling. Next, high interest rates, that's manipulated.
Yeah.
Right? That's a decision that somebody made one day.
Yeah, they raised them. Oh, it didn't just rise.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, so far, we're talking about this recession, this significant, widespread, like, looming thing that's not really looming. And that's not necessarily based in much reality.
Yeah. Okay. Housing sales falling, that can push us into a recession. That's a real thing.
So that is happening.
A little bit.
A little bit. But I think it's coming from the fact that, like, housing prices were ridiculous.
Yeah, they were a little high.
They're probably just getting to a normal place. Like, they were outrageous. And we talked about this in the past. Like, people who were looking to buy houses, it was unreal.
Especially with Tiffany bidding on houses, driving the market up.
First of all, that's not what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
You
way overbid for your crib.
Oh, I needed that.
They needed it,
I
too.
That was before.
That's slowing down.
That was before. But I'm saying, like, falling housing prices and sales, I think what's happening is that we're getting to a more realistic place. And before, it was just irate what was happening.
Yeah. After a war, you can get a slowdown. Like, you ramp up the economy because we're at war. We need to build more guns and planes and tanks. And then after, it's like,
it just goes back to normal.
Yeah, it goes back to normal.
Nothing worth panicking about. Nothing's actually happened, except we've gone back to normal.
Yeah. A credit crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's when someone steps on your foot.
No,
a credit crunch is when, you know, like, the banks have made loans and the loans are defaulting. And now they don't want to make new loans. So there's a credit crunch. When asset bubbles burst. So again, housing was an example of that. And there's a number of things. And so we've had a bunch of recessions. I don't know if you realize this or not.
Yeah, I think people think about, like, 2008 and they think about, like, the Depression. You think about these major moments that we all did feel the effects of that recession. But multiple recessions have happened in your lifetime and you didn't even feel them.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it wasn't really that extreme. A ton didn't go wrong. A lot of it was based on a feeling.
Yeah.
A person's decision.
Mm-hmm.
And just a slight
slowdown in housing
that you barely even noticed.
We've had 34 recessions since 1854 and 5 since 1980.
Okay.
That's in your era.
I was given
birth to 5 recessions.
I've given birth. I'm not responsible for these recessions. I didn't give birth. First of all, I've never given birth to anything. Let's start there. Other than businesses, I've given birth to businesses, and that is it.
Yeah. So, in other words, really, if we've had 5 in 42 years, on average, every 8 years or so, you're getting a recession. And the average recession, it lasts about 17 months. Some recessions are way shorter. Like, we had the COVID-19 recession, which was significantly shorter. But it happens. It's not the end of the world.
Never.
It's a part of the economic cycle.
Correct.
And what I mean by economic cycle is that you've got an expansion, right? That's when things are really growing.
Popping.
It's popping. Folks are getting
spending
new jobs,
all types of money, buying all types of houses.
Rates are low.
Just doing the most.
Yeah. Then inflation builds up and you get to a peak. That's when the party.
That's when Jerome steps in and cuts the DJ off.
Y'all having way too much fun in here. She starts calling people's
the
moms.
Cops. Y'all got to get out. Y'all ain't got to go home.
You know, Tiffany's in
but
here twerking.
First of all, I'm not a twerker. Let's start there. I can.
Yeah.
It's not suitable for all situations.
Okay. All right. After the peak, you get a contraction or a recession.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's when you really got to get your shit together.
Yeah. And then after the contraction, you get the trough. That's the bottom. That's when it's over. And then you get back. It's a cycle. Now you're back in expansion again.
Correct.
Let the party commence.
Yeah.
When the trough hits.
And honestly, I think about it like as an adolescent. You're doing too much. You're a teenager. You're doing too much. You're staying out late. You're not doing your homework. You outside. You're not answering the phone when your parents call. They got to put you on punishment.
Yeah.
You're not going to prison. You just got to go on punishment for a while. Calm you down. Take your cell phone away. Maybe. Not as many people can come over.
Yeah.
And you hit your trough where you're just in the house.
Yeah. And we had a nice long expansion, by the way. That party, the expansion started in June of 2009 and ran all the way to Feb of 2020.
Listen, that's a party.
That's a long expansion.
That's a long a long period of just partying.
That's longer than the 8 years we talked about.
God forbid we deserved a little bit of punishment. And like that, we just needed to chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's really what this is. It's just chilling out a little bit. And then we hit our bottom, which I'm guaranteeing you the bottom, the trough that we're potentially going to hit in this recession is not going to be anywhere near like a major feeling, like a major trough.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're just going to go right back. We're going to keep the party going.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? There's a old saying that if my neighbor loses his job, it's a recession. If I lose my job, it's a depression. So we should talk about how to avoid that depression.
Yeah.
Like how do you, like if there's going to be a recession, how you can choose in your life not to participate. So we'll go to break and we'll come back. We'll talk about it.
So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
Talking about a recession. Y'all are talking about it, so we have to talk about
it. Why not?
I mean, we can't get away from talking about the things that you guys are talking about. The elephants in the room.
Yeah.
We got to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. And decide if we're going to be bothered by it.
Or if it's an elephant or a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might just be a cat.
Yeah, because we might choose not to participate in either one. The elephant, the cat, the mouse.
We might not like animals.
Yeah.
We
definitely don't like animals.
That's not true.
Not bulls, not bears, not hawks, not doves. We don't want any of it.
We don't want any of those.
All right, so here's some advice. All right, now this may be easier said than done, but try to get a raise if you can.
is that all of your advice for a recession? Try to get a raise?
Yeah, try to get a raise. A raise is always a good idea, but there's extra urgency now that there's inflation, right? A typical raise on average is 4.5%, but with inflation at 9%, you really should try to get a bigger raise. So how do you get a raise? Do a good job at your company, okay? Maybe interview for that.
Yeah, I don't think
that lateral movement.
I think these are the ways that you get a raise. And the reason why we're saying like get a raise as like one piece of advice on how to avoid recession is to Alan's point, like things may become more expensive. You may have less access to liquid cash. Loans may be harder to come by. So having a raise, bringing in more income helps in those ways. But ways that you go about getting a raise or just making more money, to Alan's point, maybe you just go to your current employer and ask for a raise, ask for more money, or ask if there's a higher position available that you may want to interview for.
Hit them with a guilt trip if you need
What is that?
I hit somebody with a guilt trip major yesterday. I was going in.
But it wasn't that we weren't qualified, right? So I don't think guilt is the way to go about increasing your income.
I won't tell y'all what I was asking for, but I did mention that my great grandfather was a slave.
He did.
Yeah, I really did.
I was listening to that. And he was talking to white people. And I was like, now we're
but it's a fact.
We're off the reserve at this point.
Yeah.
But no, go into your current employer and ask if there are new positions available. Or are there some positions that are higher up with a greater income that you should apply for? And don't say that I qualify for, because most people aren't qualified for the positions that they apply for. So don't even put yourself in that realm. You know you will get qualified if you get the position. But look into new positions within your company, outside of your company, maybe some sort of part-time extra things that you can do, whether it's contractual, freelance, a little Uber love, whatever you decide to do, but find ways to bring in more income.
Love it.
And don't get to a point where you necessarily need it, right? Yeah. Like don't put yourself in a position where you are broke, not able to pay the bills, and now you're like, let me try to get some more money. Start now when you don't really necessarily need it so that you can just stockpile some money. To do what you want to do whenever you want to do it.
That never goes out of style.
I'm saying.
That's always sharp.
Is it? What's you in sharp? It's really like a 90s term?
I think it's 80s. I think that Sharp was sharp. 80s.
I mean, I don't remember anyone ever.
If my mom ever told me I was sharp, my day was made back in the day.
Okay.
All right. So next on the list, don't forget to pay your bills and try not to look at your 401k all the time.
So that's two different pieces of advice, right? So first, like, don't forget to pay your bills. I think 1%, less than 1% of the population has forgot to pay a bill. You decided you weren't going to pay a bill, or you decided you weren't going to pay it yet, and then the due date just kind of passed you by.
Yeah.
Pay your bills, right? Because what you don't want to happen is to get behind on bills, for interest to be added, penalties, fees, and now you owe more than you would have originally owed. Yeah. Do your best to keep up with your existing expenses that you're fully aware of and continue to pay your bills on time. Secondly, try not to look at your investment portfolio period, especially your 401k, because that's when people start panicking and start pulling money out.
Yeah.
When we think about like the big recession that happened in 2008, right? A lot of people talk about how they lost their retirement. I'm trying to be sensitive for the people who went through this, but you didn't lose your retirement.
Yeah, you kind of gave it up.
You just gave it up.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, you panicked and you took your money out of the market when your investments were low, when your investments were down.
Yeah. So if you don't look at it and just ride, just ride it.
You're riding the wave.
And keep putting your money in.
And when we talk about investments, we've said several times before, like, investing is a long-term play.
It really is.
Trading, that's a short-term, day-to-day thing. You're not trading your retirement account.
No.
You're investing. Ride the ride. Leave the money in there. Don't look at your, as Alan said, don't look at your account every day, because then you will panic, take your money out at the worst time imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you will lose your retirement.
Yeah, I think there's some people that use this threat of a recession as just like an excuse to start doing dumb things.
Yep.
Like irresponsible things. Like, you know what? It's a recession. So, you know.
Yeah. I got, you know.
Yeah, I had to stop paying my bills. I had to start, you know, just taking money out of my 401k. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, what's going to happen is it's going to be over.
Yeah, and then you're going to be sure.
It's going to be over. This isn't the first recession. This is, as Alan mentioned, we've had several recessions since you've been born, since the invention of a recession. It's just going to be over, and things are going to return back to normal, if not way better.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen. No need to panic. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen.
Let me put things in perspective right now. So right now, we've got unemployment rate, for example, at like 4%, 3.6%.
Low.
Okay. In a recession, maybe it jumps up to 8%.
Wow.
Okay, so 5% of us
will be unemployed,
which really stinks. But that means 95% of us are going to be okay, right? Yeah, generally. Like, you'll still have your job at least.
Yes.
Right?
And honestly, I think the unemployment rate currently is a little bit skewed, because a lot of people don't have jobs because y'all don't want none.
Yes.
Yeah, like, this times past. All of the times past when there was unemployment rate, it was people who were not able to get jobs. We've talked about the great resignation. Y'all are leaving jobs left and right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much as not wanting a job, because there are more jobs out there than human beings able to work them.
This is true. Yeah. So other things, and this is not just your 401k, but like, just don't be going crazy checking all your balances all the time.
And with that said, leave your financial advisor alone. Okay.
What does that mean?
In that, like, if you are, for the people who are panicking, they're checking their retirement portfolio and you see it's down. Guess what, Einstein? So is everybody else.
Dang. Why are you so cruel?
I'm just saying, like, this is a part. Some of
don't
this
call
things,
him Einstein.
Some of these things seem fundamental, right? Yeah. Like, you get invested so that there are economic cycles. If there were no economic cycles, you would not make any money. There would be no returns if everything stayed flat at all times.
Yeah.
So when you see things go down, don't blame your financial advisor, and now you're blowing their phone up. Feel free to call, have a conversation, talk about the plan, what's our strategy. But that's kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you a newsflash. Like, your goal is to stay invested the whole time with a portfolio that can cover all types of weather out there, right?
We call that diversification.
A financial advisor's job is not to time the market.
Yes.
Like, let me get you in now while it's hot. Let me get you out because I'm worried. Because they're not going to be good at it. Like, there is.
It's impossible.
A million studies that prove that they will not pick the right times to buy and sell.
Their job is to work on your investments, as Alan mentioned, in a way, set up your investments in a way so that they can ride the ride, right? They can sustain all types of climates
mm-hmm.
in a variety of different ways. And that changes over time based on your goals, how much money you have invested, when you plan on retiring, the things that you want to use this money for. But it is not to get yelled at by you. when the entire market's down?
Yeah, really not.
Because you damn sure don't send no flowers and cards when the market's up?
Yeah.
Your financial advisor is not responsible for these things, period.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is their job to be strategic, to pay attention to what's happening, and always have a plan in place for you to ride these things out, right? Yeah. It's like having car insurance. Your car insurance can't prevent you from getting in an accident, but when you do, you've got the things in place to be able to survive and recover.
Yeah. I'm going to go off script for a minute, Tiffany.
Okay. Not that we have a script.
I'm going to go off script.
Sure. Like,
this is...
You about to see something crazy?
This is... Can I throw shade for a minute?
Sure. It's been a while.
We haven't had our weekly shade corner.
It's yours.
Several
You are
several
the only
months.
Person in the shady corner.
Yeah. There's so many commercials that run 12 months a year, and they're like, due to the rough economic environment that we're currently experiencing,
right,
you should buy an extended car warranty. Like, don't let people use the guise of a recession to make you do dumb stuff. Generally.
Yeah, a lot of times these are just advertisements. People are using these terms, not even facts. Like, these things are not even facts. They're just using terms to excite you, to figure out a way to exploit you.
Yeah, and they'll make up stuff. They'll be like, there's the new stimulus type of extended car warranty that Obama approved, and it just got ratified.
Right.
Like, they just be making up stuff. So just be wise, yo. These commercials run 12 months a year. Whether we're in a recession or not, it's just an easy way to get somebody's attention. So we talked about not panic selling, but also be careful not to panic buy.
Mm.
And panic buying is like, look, I've got some cash. You know, maybe I just, you know, I sold my house at the right time. I'm sitting on a bunch of cash. I'm going to buy a house in 6 months. But look at that stock market right now.
Yeah.
I just saw this XYZ stock drop by 30%. I think I'm going to go all in.
First of all, don't go all in on anything, right? And so when Alan talks about panic buying, it's making irrational purchases. I do think, you know, I am a person who believes in buying when things are low,
yeah,
right? When things are down, it's an opportunity for me to be strategic about how much more money I want to put into the market. The lack of strategy, the lack of being strategic is a panic buy. Just betting it all on black, buying all the crypto, buying all the Apple, whatever the case is. Like, that's not strategic. That is not a plan. That's not diversification. That's not consulting with a professional. So panic buying is just taking all you got and throwing it into any investment vehicle.
Yeah. Remember, we said a recession can last 17 months. In the financial market, bear markets can last 2 years. So meaning, like, if you start to see things go down, buy some, but don't buy it all at the same time.
Correct.
Nibble. Take a little bit this week, a little bit next week. And, you know, eventually you get yourself all the way into the position you want to be in, but still be diversified. Don't, again, look at this one stock as a once in a lifetime chance. Be diversified for sure.
Another thing to think about when it comes to participating or not participating in a recession, be mindful about that new job offer. We've done a podcast episode already about people rescinding job offers and how dangerous that may be nowadays. But just pay attention. Don't jump into a new job necessarily. Don't jump into leaving your job immediately, especially, again, if you are worried about a recession hitting and if you don't have savings and a robust portfolio on retirement. And so you don't have a lot of cash reserves in the case that something goes wrong. Don't rush to leave that job. I know you might have thought about it. I know you might have said, you know what? I'm sick of Kim and Lawrence at that job, down at that job.
Jethro.
Nobody's working with a Jethro. Nobody is.
Possibly.
And if you are, he needs to retire. I'm certain that he's above 70 years old. But don't rush to make any major decisions around your profession and income if you are actually worried about a recession.
Somebody could be working with Jethro, by the way. You know, the other day I was playing golf, right? And my boy needed to borrow my clubs. And it was four of us playing. One guy had some nice clubs. They were Cleveland clubs. Cleveland's like a high-end golf club. And I'm like, look, he put my golf club in the Cleveland bag. And I'm like, nah, that's a Cleveland club. Mine are like Detroit or like Camden, New Jersey. Like, mine are like hood clubs. Like, don't mix them up.
You just offended all of our Camden listeners.
Sorry. Oh, no. Listen, I love everybody everywhere, but it's just a joke. I love Detroit, too. Everybody from Detroit is super proud.
Yeah. I've always
Cleveland
had a good time in Detroit.
Golf clubs, though. That's all.
I've had a good time in Cleveland,
Detroit's
too.
Camden actually is a pretty city, too. They got a nice aquarium. You can see Philadelphia from there.
I've never spent a second in Camden other than potentially driving through.
Yeah. So, yeah, these job offers, again, you've heard the term last hired, first fired.
Mm.
You know, we did a whole show about companies rescinding offers, to your point earlier. So just be careful.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're actually worried about a recession, if you're not worried, if you're choosing not to participate, if you feel like you are prepared, or if you feel like, you know what, like I'm in a good space and I've done a lot of the things that I need to do to know that I'm okay regardless, leave that job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you are actually worried, you might need to stay a little bit longer and ride this recession out.
Yeah, maybe.
Air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And then make a different decision later.
Yeah, I do want you to have faith, though. Like, have faith that it's going to work out for you.
Regardless of a recession or not.
Facts. So let's say you do get laid off, Tiffany. One thing that we would tell you is to not keep it to yourself. Like, tell some folks. Like, tell some folks that you're in the market, that you're looking. Like, you don't have to come off desperate. Be like, yo, I'm looking for some new opportunities. Make
this,
some noise.
To me, is like a really favorite thing to talk about. So first things first, just so you're clear, I'm not getting laid off. Okay. Speaking about myself personally.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Job
is secure.
You know what's funny? I threw one of my good friends a baby shower a couple of weeks ago, and there were a lot of people there who didn't know who I was. And I'm not going to go off on this tangent. I feel it deep in my soul, but I'm not going to go off on this tangent. But someone was like, oh, you throw really great baby showers. I should hire you.
Mm.
Right. I'm not going to say all the reasons why. I was completely offended. My response was, I'm unhireable.
Yeah.
Right? There's no one.
Yeah, you shouldn't hire
Tiffany. I'm unhireable.
She will do a bad job.
Not that I would do a bad job. I'm not in a position to be hired by anybody.
Mm.
Right? I'm not in a position to be employed by anybody.
Yeah.
In the same vein, I'm unlayoffable.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I cannot be laid off. But bigger picture. A number one thing that people do, something bad happens. You lose your job. You get laid off. You keep it a complete secret.
Yeah, you're ashamed.
You're ashamed,
be.
Which you shouldn't be. You're
it's
not the first
to do with
person
you,
to get laid off. You're not the first person to lose their job. Plus, people around you can't help you. They can't see you as a resource. They can't see this as an opportunity if you don't tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
We have a really good friend who sells houses, works in real estate.
Okay.
But refuses to tell anybody she's a real estate agent.
What?
How can you get any referrals? How is anybody going to work with you if you're not aware?
Yeah.
Right? Like things like you've started a new hustle. You've started a new side hustle, but you don't want people to know that you're doing this on the side. And then how are you going to get customers?
Yo, someone I know, this is, I don't know how these things come into my head, but someone I know, is she just announced that she's a realtor like within the last 90 days.
Okay.
And literally last week, she's like, I also got OnlyFans.
Wait a minute.
Like, one is really detracting from the other.
First of all, that's two different audiences.
Well, okay? On the same page, though.
Two different audiences.
Yeah.
I don't know how you landed in both audiences, Alan, with this particular friend of yours.
We grew up together.
There should be two different group chats, okay? The OnlyFans group chat.
Yeah, it wasn't
a
group chat.
Group
no, it was on social
same
media.
Same thing, pages. You need to have two different pages.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
House sells, you know, selling Maryland houses,
yeah,
right? And then selling ass, whatever it is, it's got to be two different platforms sharing your message. Either way,
but tell people.
I would say I applaud this person because they put it all out there. So you can be a customer of both. I can sell you this
whichever
house
one you want,
and and you can support my OnlyFans, whatever the case is. But whatever you're doing, and I pray to God it's not OnlyFans.
She said it's no nudity, by the way.
Sure.
I don't
you
buy
tell
it.
Us, Alan. Okay.
I've never been on
clearly. Clearly, she told you about it.
On social
like
media.
You were her demographic.
Oh my God.
Who are you following? Is the bigger issue.
We grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think anyone you grew up with is on OnlyFans
Here's
or stripping?
Here's the thing. If they are, they ain't tell me about it. They didn't put it on the page that I follow.
Oh my God.
I can see the pictures of their children on the first day of school. Vacations and their favorite meals.
She didn't tell
no
me.
One's...
She told everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in my feed.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I don't have these things in my feed. Either way, whatever you are going through, good, bad, or otherwise, you do need to tell the people around you. Not in a pity me type of way, but just, hey, I just want to make you aware. I'm available. I'm back out on the job market.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds yeah, like a great way to put it. I'm back out on the job market. So I'm looking if you know anyone very recently. And I bring this up to you guys. There are two things that I'm not ashamed to talk about in public. One, Joe Biden and these student loans. I don't care. Listen, if y'all know somebody, put me on. I'm halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
From when we started this podcast episode to now, I've gotten some student loans forgiven.
Thanks to us.
No.
Doing the research.
Thanks.
It's putting you on the list.
So that's one thing. But
there is no list.
Recently, I met a new contact. I met someone, and she's a owner of a venture capital company that invests in spirits and wine, mm-hmm. right? We were trying to figure out, like, you know, how can we be beneficial to each other? And I said, listen, I have some clients who might be interested in these type of deals, but also you may know some people who are heads of companies that are looking for a board member. And I am looking for paid board positions. I'm not ashamed to let her know. I'm not ashamed to let everybody know. There's no way that I can be considered for these positions. There's no way I can be considered as a resource if people don't know what's going on.
Conversely, if you got a business, talk about it.
Word.
If you got real estate to sell or insurance to sell or whatever it is, you got to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Closed mouth doesn't get fed.
100%. So key piece of advice, talk to the people around you about what you're going through, about what you're doing. Again, it's not pity, it's not a handout, but it's letting people know that you are available for some opportunities they may be aware of.
And they might have been
dying to hire you.
Just waiting for this
knowing
opportunity.
Knowing somebody, they have friends who are looking for somebody like you,
mm-hmm.
but you won't say anything. So we're going to keep talking about a recession, how not to participate.
Yeah.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the past.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum.
Is there a recession?
If there is or not, I don't know. I choose not to participate.
I'm going to keep the party going regardless.
Come on.
Okay. So we've been talking about what a recession is and how not to participate, how to prepare yourself for one if it's coming, or how to just decide to opt out and do what's best for you, regardless of what the news is talking about, regardless of these all these terms that are being thrown around just to get you worked up and excited.
Yeah. So I got a major one, and this is going to be a little bit unconventional. No one's going to believe that this is the advice we're giving, but a recession is a great time to start a business.
Word.
It's crazy. So you and I both, by the way, started businesses in recessions.
That's a fact.
Yeah. And when I look back, like we didn't know it at the time, but right after recession, there's a trough. Then after the trough is an expansion.
It's just up.
And we just experienced one of the longest expansion periods in modern history. Like, we could not have timed starting some of these businesses any better than what we did. But we started in the recession.
I'm telling you, I didn't realize it was a recession. It was my own personal recession.
Yeah.
When I started my business. And for a lot of people, I think that's a really good point. Like, you have your own down periods, regardless of what's happening in the market, regardless of what's happening in different businesses. If things are down for you, they're down for you and you figure it out. Right? Like, you have your own personal recession. Alan and I both started our businesses during a real recession,
yeah,
but our own personal recession.
Yeah.
And we had to climb our way out of it. And starting a business during this time, honestly, was pivotal to being able to really kill it.
Yeah, I quit my job in 2010. I went into an entrepreneurial position that same year. There was that expansion we talked about started in 2009. Momentum Advisor started in 2012. You know, we just hit 10 years. And again, you never know. Like, at the time, my dad literally pulled me to the side like, yo, are you crazy? Like, yo, do you know what's going on out here? And I'm like, Pop, I don't have a choice but start the business
and
right
if
now.
Shit's bad for everybody.
Yeah.
I might as well
now,
jump in.
Some of the benefits of starting a business in a recession, number one, if you don't have a lot of money, that's sometimes the best time to start a business.
Seriously.
It sounds counterintuitive, but if you've got a lot of money, sometimes you waste a lot of money.
And if your business is service oriented, in a recession, oftentimes people need more help. They need more services, right? To help them in whatever situation that they have going on. So you may be in higher demand during a recession.
Yeah, maybe. Also, there might be some competitors who are closing up shop.
Word.
They're taking steps backwards. Remember, we said that they didn't have the confidence to expand their businesses. Opportunity. Other things, like sometimes things are cheaper during a recession.
Very true. Very true. Especially to Alan's point, if someone is closing their business or if someone's not investing in their business, you may be able to get supplies and equipment a lot cheaper. You may get it as someone's closing their business and something's available to you. There's a lot of opportunity when it comes to a recession. I will tell you how I have benefited from a recession in times past.
Okay.
So looking for materials for whatever the reason, right? So party materials, home building materials. Oftentimes, I've been able to find businesses that are going out of business, that are closing up shop during a recession. And so they are giving away or selling these items for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Right? There's a crazy and amazing opportunity for me to buy things, buy supplies, cost of goods at a fraction of the cost.
Also, people. There might be more people available to work for you.
Not this recession. Not this
it
one.
It could be. I'm
past
just saying.
Ones.
It could
people,
be.
People, y'all, listen, it's so many jobs out here and so many people who clearly have the cheat code to not having to go to work.
Yeah,
so I don't know about the people.
Yeah, but I'm just saying maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe there's someone that normally wouldn't have the chance to work with you.
Very true.
But now the opportunity has come up because of a layoff.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. So consider starting a business.
I think another thing that you have to think about, and I think we've alluded to it a little bit, is that just recessions don't hit everybody in the same way. They don't hit every industry in the same way also, right? And there are a lot of industries that if one goes down, another goes up.
Yeah, and some that really are very resistant to recession. I'll give you some examples of some recession-resistant industries.
Okay.
Not proof.
Alcohol. Resistance. Drugs.
Some of those.
Drugs.
So, all right. We're not going to say drugs.
Recreational drugs.
No, we'll say alcohol actually is probably counter-cyclical. Like when people start losing jobs, they start buying more Coors Light and whatnot.
And when they start getting jobs, they buy more champagne.
Yeah. So
the alcohol is going to be purchased regardless. It's either going to be brown liquor.
Okay, this is not what I'm
talking about. Or bubbles.
This is Tiffany.
I'm just saying industries that are recession-resistant.
Okay. Healthcare. People are going to get sick regardless.
True.
People are going to need hospitals and doctors and nurses regardless.
Cannabis. Y'all gonna smoke weed regardless. I've learned this. And I'm a person who does not smoke weed. I don't participate in CBD,
whatever,
any of the things.
She definitely does.
But I have learned y'all gonna smoke weed regardless.
I didn't know we lie on this podcast.
We're not, listen, y'all know I'm a walking dare commercial out here. So I told you I had a baby shower a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This man walked up to me. I didn't know this man. He knew it was my house. I was hosting the baby shower. And he said, hey, can I smoke on your property? My parents were here. I said, no, I prefer you not to. He said, absolutely. I'll make sure not to disrespect your house. Immediately lit up.
What?
Immediately.
What? At a baby shower?
At a baby shower.
Tiffany throws the best parties.
No, I say all this to say, y'all clearly gonna smoke weed regardless under all circumstances.
Okay.
Recession, no recession, baby shower. It were children at the baby shower.
Yeah, I was gonna say consumer staples. Like food, but clearly weed is potentially a staple in the Hawkins world.
Not in the Hawkins world, but in the world, food for sure. And I think, again, when we're saying recession resistant, it doesn't mean that there won't be changes in this industry, but there's balance, right? So you might not be buying as many steaks and lobster, but you're still buying plenty of bread and fruit.
And bologna.
Bologna should be outlawed.
Yeah, but they're still buying it.
Yeah.
Utilities.
For
the,
sure.
The water company, PSE&G.
A recession doesn't hit and y'all like, I'm going to turn the power off.
Yeah. Can't do that.
That's not going to happen. Like, we got to save some money. Let's cut the water.
Yeah.
Utilities are going to be paid regardless. And y'all are not going to start turning the lights off.
Yeah.
What is with black people not want to turn the lights off?
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. I am the person who will walk in your house and turn off unnecessary lights.
Yeah. You need to teach my kids this skill. Yeah.
Maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's not even race. It's generational. Is it young? Is that young people just don't turn the lights off?
Yeah, my kids.
Tell them it's a recession. Every time your kids leave the lights on, just start screaming it's a recession.
Yeah, I think my kids think it only goes on. Like, up. The button goes up only. But listen, we've laid out a lot. Like whether you start a business in one of these recession-resistant industries or in your stock portfolio, you start to, you know, make sure you've got some of these things in the portfolio. I think what we're getting at is that, you know, whether there's a recession or not, it doesn't have to be devastating in your personal life. And we've given some good advice on how to navigate.
So hopefully now you have a better understanding on what a recession is and what it isn't. The term is not all-consuming. It doesn't mean doom and gloom. And even if it does, it doesn't have to mean that in your life. We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum.